talk about his obedience. Now, you know, God tested Abraham not to watch him fall, but to deepen his capacity to obey God and thus develop his character. You know, God built Abraham slowly, piece by piece, year by year, into a man of faith. You know, when we're tested, we complain, but we can see how God is stretching us to develop our character. Now, let's talk about Abraham's life before this passage. What do we know about Abraham? As far as what he went through.
God gave him a new name.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
First name change.
Yep.
And told him to leave all that was familiar to him, to go to a new land.
Right. And how old was he when God called to him?
75.
That's right, he was 75.
Wow. He was a senior.
Yeah, he was a senior. And how old was he when he had his first child?
99?
Well, actually, he was 86 with Ishmael.
Oh, okay.
And then he was promised another child. And remember, he was laughing, right?
Yeah.
But how old was he when he was given his second child? Yeah, that's right. He was 100. Let's look at verse. We're going to be in Genesis 20. We're going to be in Genesis 22 the whole time.
Okay.
Before we go to God, before we go to the message, let's go to God in prayer. Dear Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for the message. I pray that this message I preach is all of you, dear God. And I pray that I lead not on my own understanding, but in all my ways I trust in God, and that He's going to lead the path of this message.
Amen.
Father, I just love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Okay, so Genesis 22, starting in verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey and took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Now, how do these verses make you think?
What?
Right.
It strikes me that it was 3 days. He just kept going. He kept going, anticipating this terrible thing that he has to do. But he kept going.
Yeah.
You know, as Abraham makes this 50-mile journey, it's a 50-mile journey, by the way, to Mount Moriah.
Wow.
Can you imagine how every one of God's commands was like a knife to Abraham? Right. Take your son, your only son. Now, he was promised a son. First, he was promised he'd be a father of many nations when he was 75. If you remember. And nothing happened for 25 years, right?
Right.
But the next knife, whom you love, offer him there as a burnt offering. You know, think about those knives that had to be stabbing at Abraham. And think about how many times Abraham could have said, "No, I'm not going to do this." Think about that human side of Abraham. Who does he resemble when you think about the story of Abraham?
Jesus.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. You know, that morning, Abraham began one of the greatest acts of obedience recorded in history. you know, over the years, he had learned many tough lessons about the importance of obeying God. You know, let's go to Genesis 22, verse 5. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while the boy and I go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood from the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. And the two of them went on together. Wow. Do we go to God in time to worship in times of testing?
You asking?
Yes.
Oh.
Do we always?
No.
Always.
No. Not even close.
Some people may, but not everybody does, because this test was difficult in yet another aspect. Mm-hmm. Because it seemed to contradict the previous promise of God. You know, God had already promised in Isaac that your seed, if you read Genesis 21:12, let me get there. But God said to him, "Do not be distressed about the boy, your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Mm-hmm. You know, so it kind of sounds contradictory, right? It seems strange to kill the son who was promised to carry on the covenant, and when it had not been fulfilled in him. You know, it seemed as if God commanded Abraham to kill the very promise made then.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think so?
Mm-hmm.
You know, first question, what do you think is going through Isaac's mind?
I always wonder that.
Just trust the dad. He's a little boy.
But he's not a little boy.
Well, we don't know. The thing is, we don't know his age at this point.
But then he trusts dad.
He's a full adult.
If you have a close relationship, well, it depends on who you are. If you got a close relationship with your father, you trust your father.
Right.
My dad was military.
Right.
I've been to Germany and back. I trust dad. Dad knows best. Now, some other relationships are not that way. They don't trust their dad. Mm-hmm. But I have a close relationship with my father, so it depends on the individual. So I would think Abraham being close to his father, Isaac being close to the father Abraham the whole time, to me, it would imply that I trust dad.
Yeah.
I'm going with him with wood and fires. We're going to worship. It never said that. It never implied that. He was like, "Dad, what's going on? What are we doing?" He says, "I'm going with dad."
He didn't question. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he did question.
At what point?
We haven't gotten there yet.
You're not there yet.
It's for us.
Oh. I'm sorry, Richard, I'm getting here.
Actually, if you look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, "Isaac spoke up and said to his father, 'Abraham, father.' 'Yes, my son,' Abraham replied, 'the fire and wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?'" What does Abraham say? "God will provide the lamb for the offering, my son," and the two of them went on together.
So he still trusting dad, because he's not assuming that it's for him. He's going to each one. So with their custom, what I'm hearing, he's saying that there should be a sacrifice.
Right.
So raise a sacrifice. But he's not saying, like, in the context, like, "I'm a sacrifice." They don't know.
But what's going through Abraham's mind, knowing that he's supposed to sacrifice his son?
What's going in through Abraham's mind?
Yeah. Knowing that his son is the one that he's supposed to sacrifice.
Just total grief.
Especially when you go back to verse 5, and he says, "We will worship and then we will come back to you." But yet, he was told to go and sacrifice his son.
But he's expected to bring him back. That's what that verse is saying.
Yeah, that's right.
I get what you're saying. You're saying, like, you know, like, as a father, like, is it really going to happen? But Abraham makes a statement that he's expecting both of them to come back.
There is a where he where he tells the where he tells the servants or the people that he brought, he said, I think he's, I'm paraphrasing, sorry, but he does say we will be back.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So for me, that's just a confirmation of faith that God will make sense of this that doesn't make any sense.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Richard goes to your lesson about trust. To me, that statement, he's trusting that this will work out, that God will, because of his obedience, that this will work out, that he will come with his son. So.
Right. You know, this doesn't mean that Abraham somehow knew that this was only a test and God would not really require this of him. You know, instead, Abraham's faith was understanding that he should kill Isaac. God would raise him from the dead because God had promised Isaac would carry on the line of the blessing of the covenant. Let's go on to verse 10. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Now, can you imagine the sense of relief from Isaac and Abraham? Let's talk about that. What do you think Isaac was feeling?
Wow. I would imagine he'd be confused.
Relief is my word, confused. Relief, not really fully understanding what's really going on at the time. I'm sure until his father gave him some explanation afterwards, but kind of confused. Relieved, maybe in a panic, because I would have been in a panic if somebody trying to, you know, bound me up and ready to kill me, you know, I would probably be in a panic. So I'm sure there were a lot of emotions going on there.
I wonder if Isaac, because, you know, I'm assuming that if Abraham heard the voice of God, that Isaac did as well. I mean, I feel like hearing the voice of God would just make everything else insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like Isaac probably came away from that like, oh my gosh, like I heard the voice of God. And I feel like that changed his life. Like more so than the trauma of, wait a minute, what? I'm the sacrifice? I mean, voice of God, you know, hearing that?
The coming away, like you're saying, is good, but before you hear that, you know, what's going through your mind?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
He probably, like, was hurt and was still going to carry out the mission, carry out what God told him.
I think it helped him to see that, you know, God does keep his promises, too. Because, you know, God promised, I don't know how much he knew about what God's promise to his father was about him, but he promised if you give your son, you know, I'll provide the way out, and just seeing how God kept his promise, you know, whether it's him being brought back to life or whatever, he knew that, you know, he was the hope for the people.
The book of Hebrews kind of gives us a look in a glimpse inside of what Abraham was thinking. It says that Abraham reasoned that God was able to give Isaac back from the dead.
Right.
Right.
Can I say something to you on this?
Sure.
I've always looked at Isaac as like Jesus, like Isaac is the sacrifice, right? Just like Jesus. So I always looked at Isaac. But I never looked at Abraham as God, like God giving up his son. I don't know why I never looked at it like that, but in looking at this, the faith, you can actually get a
a bird's eye view, like a view of what God might have been feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, giving up his son,
mm-hmm.
and just go, just continuing to go that path, just pushing forward to give up Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But he actually went through with it, like,
mm-hmm.
and then brought him back from the dead. And Isaac didn't have to. I mean, Abraham did not have to do that.
Right.
So I don't know. It just, I never really looked at it like that before.
Yeah.
It's
especially
pretty
with
deep.
The ram being stuck in the thorns that way.
Yeah.
You know, we must believe that Abraham was completely willing to plunge the knife into Isaac because his faith was in God's ability to raise Isaac from the dead. You know, not in God's desire to stop the sacrifice. Abraham didn't think this was a drama or a mere ceremony. Abraham displayed his heart towards God in a way that he was willing to give his son. God displays his heart towards us in the same way by giving up his only begotten son. When God asked Abraham for the ultimate demonstration of love and commitment, he asked for Abraham's son. You know, when God the Father wants to show us the ultimate demonstration of his love and commitment to us, you know, he gave us his son. We can say to the Lord, now I know that you love me, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. All the while, God still required a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God didn't call off the sacrifice. Instead, he required that there be a substitute provided by God himself. Now let's go on to the passage. I'm sorry. Verse 13. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide," or Jehovah Jireh. And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities and of their enemies. And through your offspring, the nations will be blessed because you've obeyed me." You know, the name of the place is significant. Because, like I said, it's named Jehovah Jireh. You know, in this mountain it shall be provided. But you know, this event is also significant. It's a prophecy of Jesus rising from the dead on the third day. As 1 Corinthians 15:4 says, "He rose again on the third day according to the scriptures." Now this is one place where the Old Testament indicates the Messiah would rise again on the third day. It says so through the picture of Isaac. You see, Isaac was reckoned dead by Abraham as soon as God gave the command. And Isaac was risen 3 days later. Isaac's life as a picture of Jesus becomes even clearer. You see, both were loved by their father. Both offered themselves willingly. Both carried wood up the hill of their sacrifice. Both were sacrificed on the same hill. Both were delivered from death on the third day.
Hmm.
Any other thoughts?
I just, you said you went willingly, which I was looking at something and trying to figure out what the age was. And they say for Isaac, it was mid-teens up to 30, to his 30s. Because whenever I've read this story before, I keep seeing a boy. But there's not many boys who are going to carry a bunch of wood, walk for 3 days, and then climb up the mountain.
Right.
Plus, he had the maturity to allow his father to do what he was going to do.
Right.
And so that changes, in my mind, changes a lot of what I've known about this story. You know, when he said boy, I always thought, you know, 5, 6 years old and everything. But there's not many 5 or 6 year olds that carry enough firewood for a burnt offering up the mountain. Reinforces the fact that he was given himself willingly, just like Jesus did.
You're saying instead of like his father like forcing him on the altar sacrifice, Isaac willingly.
There's nothing that indicates that there was a struggle with it.
But wouldn't they be trained of bringing from the father? You get in your house, you know.
Could be, but then you have the the walking for traveling for 3 days and then taking all that wood on his back.
Then
climbing up the mountain and everything.
That part of the game, I was thinking about just getting on the altar. Like, I think it's kind of like what Chris said, like this, really getting on the altar, like from like your family, how you do things, your family, custom is trained. So your family's used to doing it that way, so your kids are like, this is what we do.
But so I tell you, I worship my grandfather. Mm-hmm. My grandfather tried to do that. It would not have ended well for one of us.
I was thinking about the study we did with Eli and his relationship with his boys, you know? The scripture makes it a point to let us know that they were very disobedient and we analyze that possibly because Eli didn't invest in the way he should have into his children, poured into it.
Wow.
So I think just kind of tying to what Julia said as well about, I think because of what Abraham gave Isaac, through God, and Isaac, I think, had that peace, and it's just really peace because I'm pretty sure there was no, I don't think, understanding with me, for me, right? Because it would still be very confusing to see my father coming at me with a knife. But the peace of God and the obedience that comes. So I was thinking about the relationship that Abraham has with his, older, mature son.
I also think about Abraham's, his example of that time walk with God had to have had some type of impact on his family.
Right.
For him to get to that point, just to get up and obey, I'm going to take my son up this mountain, bring all my servants with me, and I'm going to do this. So long before Abraham was able to just willingly get up and I'm going to do it, his lifestyle before that, in his relationship with God, had an impact on everybody. For Abraham to say, hey, this is what trust looks like, this is what obedience looks like. So kind of a prelude to this story here.
Even, on the whole trip, his manner, he wasn't nervous because he was confident. Even as, Donald mentioned, he just knew that God was going to bring, his son back to life. So there wasn't the nerves because, if he was, nervous about it and, looking under the bushes and see if he can find somebody to, to switch places by his son. His son would have that nervousness too, but you saw that he went up there and he had the confidence in God, and I think that's what helped Isaac to be able to see that too.
Yes, Julie.
Verse 18. I feel like this is something I'm going to carry with me from this lesson, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. And I just think, our choice on a, kind of just living life to obey God goes so much further than just our little life that we can see. I don't really think about it that way, but this makes me realize that my obedience goes much further than just blessings in my life.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's, wow. I mean, that really puts a whole nother motivation to obey, even when it's hard,
mm-hmm.
you know?
You know, I heard a quote about, it said, cut the Bible anywhere and it will bleed. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a metaphorical quote of, you know, wherever you go in the Bible, you'll see Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like reading this and it shouts Jesus, and yet, you know, people reject him.
Well, look at verse 17, and when it says, I will surely bless you and your descendants and as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as sand on the seashore, your descendants will take possession of cities of their enemies. God bless Abraham even more because of his obedience.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just blown away when I was looking at this, and made this connection between between Jesus' crucifixion and what Isaac went through. Because, like I said, you think about it, both were loved by their father, Jesus and Isaac. Both offered themselves up willingly. Both have carried wood up the hill of their sacrifice.
Wow, yeah.
To Mount Moriah. As a matter of fact, both were sacrificed on Mount Moriah. And both were delivered from death on the third day.
Amen.
There it is. Methodist coincidence.
Somebody made a comment about the parenting that Isaac received.
Mm.
And for some reason, I never thought of this before, but my mind goes back to Isaac. I mean, Abraham was the same father to both of them. But you can't picture Ishmael submitting to that, you know, just from the character that he's displayed in other parts of Genesis.
Right, right.
And I think that's why, even before they're born, we need to pray for the hearts of our children and grandchildren. And, I met Ashonda's grandmother this morning when I went to pick him up, and she's a great grandmother, like to seven kids, and who we become, I mean, who we are, can be passed on, but we really need to pray for their hearts.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, I just encourage everybody to take a look at this passage again, and just look at how Abraham's faith was really strengthened because of obedience.
Yes.
Because it's not easy to sit there and be told, sacrifice your one and only son that you struggled to get for 25 years. Because he was promised to be a father of many nations at 75. It didn't happen when he had Ishmael. So he still had to wait. And then he had sacrificed that son. But yet Abraham was obedient to what God had to say. Take that lesson of obedience and put it to your own life. And just remember, this is not a sprint. This is a lifelong marathon.
Amen.
Just because you get baptized, that's a mile marker.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you help baptize another person, that's another mile marker. Mm-hmm. God builds us up through mile markers. Go through those mile markers and let God build you up.
Amen.
And let him build you up through your obedience. Mm-hmm. To God be the glory.
Amen.
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 This time we're going to go ahead and we're going to pray for the communion.